Hello, this is Dean Gocher. I'm founder and director of the Institution for Authority Research. I encourage you to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways to acknowledge Him. Then He's the one who directs your path. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And this program is about a process that I call Diaprax, which is the second part of Proverbs 3, 5, is leaning to your own understanding. That structure or that way of thinking, God says, my ways are not your ways, or my paradigm is not your paradigm. And the contrast is always there. God's paradigm is higher than our paradigm, which is lower, higher than the heavens or from the earth. And so from the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, we find contrast. It's right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, I'm from above, you're from below, flesh, spirit. And that's a patriarchal paradigm. It's a top-down system. In other words, the children don't think the same way as the parent. In other words, there's a higher and a lower. And the dialectic, which is diaprax, the praxis or the practice, the Bible says, lie not one to another, seeing you've put off your old man with his praxis. That's the Greek word for deeds. And so the old man praxis is lying. Now, the purpose for a lie is to cover up what one has done that is wrong. And a lie can not just be in our mind that so-and-so is wrong and we're right, or we're right and they're wrong and therefore it's an opposite. You can actually believe that what you're doing is right and be wrong. You can be living a lie all the time that you think you're doing the truth. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth to be right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that, in essence, is the dialectical process. Because with God, there is right or wrong, but with man, because we can evaluate, we can decide for ourselves what's right and wrong, and God says that's evil. You see that? That is our ability to evaluate, to take on the image of God. But we can only evaluate from the flesh. The only way out of this dialectical process is to evaluate our flesh from the Word of God. And that's a patriarchal paradigm. In other words, some higher authority, in this case, God. Now, it can be dad and mom. It can be somebody like a boss. Can be telling us what's right and wrong, and that's of the world, that's of the earth. Now, they can be of the Lord, and so it is still a patriarchal paradigm. But the Bible is very clear. We are to call no man father. In other words, man himself is not the final say on what is right and wrong. It has to be God and him alone, because he's spirit, and we're flesh. And without that patriarchal paradigm, all we have is the flesh. And if we have only the flesh, when Eve was looking at the tree, and I've shared this over and over, Genesis 3, 1 through 6 is the dialectical process. It is Hegel's philosophy. It is Marx's philosophy. It is Nietzsche, Kierkegaard. All of the wisdom of men is bound within those six verses. Because our wisdom is tied to our perception, is tied to our reasoning. And notice, and it's also tied to our experience, which is tied to our sensuous needs. Without a sensuous need, you wouldn't get up in the morning. In other words, there's a need to eat. And Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone. In other words, we do need to eat breakfast or eat lunch, and we need to eat sometime because the body, the flesh, needs nourishment. God formed man from the dust of the ground, and therefore there are laws that tie to the flesh. And God's not against those laws. He's not against the laws of nature. But when those laws of man, the laws of the flesh, take precedence over God's law, in other words, our perception, our looking into the world for what it is to sustain us, supersedes God's command, then we're in trouble with God. Then the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience, because without God first telling us not to do something, if we go do it, then we're not disobeying. But when God gives us commands, do this and don't do that, and we do that in defiance or in justification. See, this is the trickery of the dialectic, is that what we're doing is justified. What Eve was doing of eating of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil was justified. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, that's not true. Yes, it is. If you're a materialist, if you're looking at the tree itself, if you're making the tree and the flesh and human reasoning, the enlightened mind, the foundation of life, then what she did was right. But God says, no, even the good that man does, because she was looking at the tree, it was good. Until I understood this, it didn't make sense. Because you're always thinking that the other person who's disobeying God is wrong and God is right. But in man's ability, in his perception, in his ability to be deceived, we can actually decide that something's good from our perception. And you might say, well, what's wrong with that? You know, you might, as an architect, decide what building looks good. But you have to realize that there are laws of nature that apply to that. Even McDonald's knows that you can pick certain colors by the laws of the body's sensing of colors, because there are certain colors that produce stress. There are other colors that relax you. And by putting certain colors, schemes together, you can actually have customers come in and be comfortable for about 20 minutes. And then after 20 or so minutes, then you become semi-uncomfortable. And it's not enough that you don't want to ever experience the experience again, but therein you move your customers through the store. And millions of dollars are spent on our body and its reaction to the environment around us. And so what Satan did with Eve in the garden is what every facilitator does. And that is to get our ought to be. You know, you're told you can't do something. That wouldn't have been a problem in the garden in Eden if God hadn't said it cannot. Because then they could have done whatever they wanted and they would have been the children of God. But God, you know, God says he chastens those he loves. And so to be chastened, there must be something that you can do wrong. If you spank your child and they didn't do anything wrong, you're a sadist, and your child to accept that would be a masochist. This is why Eric Fromm, in a prior series of teachings, I covered Eric Fromm, Bloom's Taxonomy. Every certified teacher in this nation is certified, Christian school as well, and Christian schools are accredited as well, as every secular public school is accredited from Bloom's Taxonomy. And Bloom, then, he states in the first book, Cognitive Domain, page 32, we recognize the point of view that truth and knowledge is only relative and that there are no lasting truths for all times and all places. That's a dialectical mindset. Karl Marx said, in the eyes of the dialectical philosophy, nothing is established for all times, nothing is absolute or sacred. So if there is nothing absolute, if everything is situational, if everything is relative, then you have no right to chasten, to spank, to punish your child on a basis of right and wrong. That's why in the 50s and the 40s, chastening or spanking was removed from the school system. Because up until then, the public school, even my mom, when she taught, she could spank the students. When I earned my teacher's degree back in 1971, it would be a horrible experience to try to spank a child in a classroom, because you would get a lawsuit. Because Bloom's taxonomy, the curriculum system, the paradigm change in the classroom had taken over. And therein, you would have been sued. You would have been fined. You would have been fired because you were insisting to inculcate in this child a right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, I'm above, you're below paradigm. I hope you understand this. It's all been about the paradigm. It's been about the annihilation of the patriarchal paradigm. This was the brilliance of the transformational Marxists. They didn't come to the United States saying, well, you know, Nietzsche, of course, said God is dead and all that. But and let me clarify that. If you do the dialectical process, in your perception, God's law is dead in the sense that it's irrelevant. It's not that somebody killed God. It's just he's irrelevant. He's not worth listening to. He has no authority in your life. Kurt Lewin, who edited the Frankfurt School's paper before he came to the United States, went to Iowa City. It was all about group dynamics, unfreezing, moving, refreezing you, force field analysis. So you got to identify what you're going to shoot. You know, if you're out hunting, you have to know what a rabbit looks like, okay? You don't want to just go shooting anything because there are laws. And so you have to know what you want to get rid of, because Marx says you have to annihilate the traditional home. So Kurt Lewin identified the traditional home, the patriarchal home. Bloom's taxonomies, built on Theodor Adorno and Eric Fromm's work, was all about the destruction of the traditional home. Marx says once the earthly family, that traditional family, is discovered to be God's secret, and what was that? Chastening. Chastening says what? There's right and wrong. Bloom says there is no right or wrong, so you have to get rid of chastening. Of course, God says on Hebrews 13, if you refuse chastisement or correction, you're a bastard. And, of course, look at our nation. We have bastardized ourselves because we have rejected God's law. And by rejecting God's law, treating it as irrelevant, therefore you have no right to chasten and spank. And God says in Hebrews 6:4, because you refuse to recognize me and my law, I refuse to recognize your children. And so because the parents in America in the 50s and 60s said, oh, we want a user-friendly education system, and these experts, these professionals called teachers and educators and staff, because they have this academic educational curriculum, they certainly know more than we do in the technology world, not understanding that the social engineers knew they had to bring the dialectical process between the parents and the technology. Because for your child to be successful in the future, they would have to get the education and be trained in the technology. But when psychology and sociology came into the classrooms and we did a curriculum change, the curriculum was the paradigm. The curriculum determines how the next generation will think. And when that material came into the classroom, all of a sudden we had a liberalizing of the mind of the child. No longer was he accountable to higher authority, he was accountable to the social dreams of the future. And anything which interfered with his natural inclination and his desire to inquire into nature, or inquire into his own nature, or into social nature, and this was all behavioral science, was considered the enemy. And so that authority, which would interfere with discovery and potential and imagination and growth, became irrelevant, first of all, because the educator would not tell the students that the parent was evil. That would be understood when the parent, when the teachers created an environment where the parent's commands became irrelevant. And again, when Eve's looking at the tree, it's good, it's good, it's good. God's law, which said it's evil, became irrelevant because it didn't make sense. Do you understand this? This is Nietzsche's God is Dead. The moment that Eve looked at that tree and it made sense to her that it was good, God was dead. Now, God wasn't dead, but in her mind, in her perception. And this is the world it seems to be. Paul says, avoid the oppositions of so-called science. Seems to be science. Because she looked at the tree in regards to God's command not to eat of it. She scientifically discovered that there was nothing wrong with a tree. Therefore, there's something wrong with God. And that's so-called science. Because, you know, true science would be now analyzing the tree that there's nothing wrong with the tree. But when God said, don't eat of it, that's not science. That's spiritual. Now we're dealing with the soul of man. Because what God commands, you must do. Jesus said, what my Father commands, that's what I do. That's a patriarchal paradigm. It's not the issue that the child couldn't go out and play with their friends and not get in trouble. They could do that. But Dad said, don't go. Dad says, stay home. And so they get in trouble, not because of if they went out and played with their friends and they didn't get in trouble. They get in trouble with a parent because they disobeyed. You understand? That's the patriarchal paradigm. Has nothing to do whether you can justify what you're doing today. You see, even the best that you've ever done in your life, outside of God's will in your life, outside of humbling yourself before him as a filthy rag, it's you who did it. And you cannot go before God and say, look what I did in your name. It's worthless before God, because then you get the glory, and you're the creator, and you're the sustainer, and you're the good. And God says, no, you're not good, because you thought in your mind you could evaluate the world and come up with what's good. Only God is good. But now we have the good earth. We have a good village. We have a good society. We have you know, new world order. We're going to make a better world. Well, no, that's foolishness. Professing to become wise, because look at Eve, she's wise. It's good for food, pleasing the eyes, desires to make one wise. What's that? She can justify, she can evaluate, she can find out what is right and wrong, and she just did values, clarification, situation, ethics, and that's all. Bloom's taxonomy was all about how to bring the dialectical process, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, Satan's Genesis project, into the classroom, and treat it as academics. Now, I'm covering one of many sources that support this transformational Marxist structure, because it was not traditional Marxist, which didn't have psychology. They had, you know, they did have Pavlov and his, you know, salivating dog stimulus response. But they didn't have the sophistication of the transformational Marxists, who merged Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx, and they understood what's called negative dialectics. In other words, it's not enough to set up dialectical rules. Now, I talk about these rules, but they would say, well, no, we don't want the rules to come in. There are no rules. We're just going to do the process. Well, they're liars, because they are following laws. They're following the laws of the flesh. They're following Genesis 3, 1 through 6. They can't escape from it. They are bound to it, because the moment you move away from faith in God, faith in His Word, and this is what all church growth ministers have done, and I'll say all, everyone, not one is outside of Genesis 3, 1 through 6, because they're leaning to their own understanding. The moment a minister does a feasibility study, that means he asks the congregation how they feel and what they think on any issue, he's just done Genesis 3, 1 through 6. He's looked at the situation through human eyes and human ears. He's not waited from God's word. He's not taken captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. Notice obedience. That's a patriarchal paradigm. Why, my father says, that's what I do. He who does my father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. God has never asked you or me to take feasibility studies on the souls of men, on what God said is right and wrong. That's what the 10 spies did. They did a feasibility study, and their outcome was the flesh. We're like grasshoppers, okay? You understand the difference between patriarchal and the heresiarchal paradigm. Heresy means change. You heard the word change recently? Well, Norman O'Brown shows how Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx were merged in his book, Life Against Death, the Bible of the 60s. And last session, I was talking about the body of the flesh of the child, that children are sexually active, according to Sigmund Freud. If you take psychology, that's the foundation. There is no other foundation. That's the cornerstone. It's the flesh. And Norman O'Brown says, life is of the body, and only life creates value. All values are bodily values. And he continues, infants know no God except the pleasure principle. And so we've gone to a pleasure society. People are no longer working to get bread on the table and just to stay alive, because it's a life and death situation. This is why in the past you got chastened, because you better learn what's right, because if you don't, you're going to die, or somebody else is going to die. Now, you still have some of this left over. If you're a pilot, hopefully you learn there's right and wrong. And hopefully when you have somebody inspect the plane, it's one person. Because you never want two, because one might assume that the other covered whatever it was that needed to be checked out. And therefore, a conscience has to be involved, because it's a life and death situation. But we went to the pleasure principle, which is now entertainment. Everything is entertainment. Make me feel good and I will listen to you. That's why when you share the truth today with people, they glaze over. They cannot handle anything without pleasure, because they're bound to this, the child within, the flesh within. You have to have a little flesh to make the gospel go down easier. And it's not the gospel then. Because the gospel is, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of the flesh of men. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then Norman Brown says, infants have a richer sexual life than adults. Why? Because they don't have restraints. They're just doing whatever is natural. They're following their human, carnal, human, fleshy nature. They're just following the laws of the flesh. Of course, Paul says that's the body of death. But to a child, they don't see it as death. They see it as life. That's why Norman Brown called his book Life. See, the child within against death, the parent. God. God is death. See? God is the enemy. God is preventing us from being our true self. One author, Broner, in his book Critical Theory and the Theorist, a textbook out of Berkeley, he said, God is the anthropological source of alienation. God separates us from our nature. God separates us from human nature. God separates us from the village. God separates us from the relatives at the family reunion. God separates us from that promotion. God separates us from advancement in politics. God is the great divider, not the great uniter. Oh, not today. Now we have a user-friendly, non-offensive Jesus. He's readily adaptable in any changing situation, and therefore God is the uniter. But it's a new God. It's not the God of the Word of God. It is a God that Satan presented to Eve. A God of compassion and forgiving and saying, you know what? Of course, that's redefined, saying, oh, you won't die. See, God really didn't mean that. God said, oh, you know, the day you eat there, you'll just be like him. Now, that was the lie. And that's the dialectical lie, is that today you can go out and you can evaluate through your understanding what is right and wrong. You can't do it. And I guarantee you're going, I can't do. Because that's your child within. That defiant child you say you can't go out, and it doesn't make any sense to them. You can't go out and play. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, it doesn't make any sense. And you know what? To their reasoning, no matter how much time you would spend with them, to their reasoning, you don't make sense, because sense is sensual. It doesn't line up with the body of death. They love the body of death, but they don't see it as death. They see it as life. When Eve was looking at the tree of knowledge, good and evil, she saw life. It's good for food. I can eat of it. That's life. It's pleasing the eyes. That's life. Don't you get up in the morning, want to enjoy life, look around, and you know, you don't want to like be around things that are depressing. You want to be around things that look nice, shiny things, or whatever. You know, the brain actually senses what's in the environment, and it approaches pleasure. And so there are shapes and colors and there are events in the environment that actually stimulate pleasure. Automatic. Your nervous system is designed to identify them. And you get up in the morning, and if you're following the flash, that's what you're looking for. We're like children grabbing crayons, running to the walls. That's our human, carnal, fleshy nature. Paul says, who can deliver me from this body of death? Well, eventually, you're going to have a new body. But up until then, you get up every morning with this body of death. Now, the issue is, do you bring it under submission? Do you bring it subject to Christ? Bring captive every thought, because your mind looks into the environment to get more pleasure. Is God against the pleasure? No. But when he says, don't do this, and everything in you says, well, there's nothing wrong with doing it. See, if it all makes sense, if everybody says, you know, this is what God's word says, and you can look at the scripture and it says, okay, this is what, you know, Satan quoted scripture to Jesus. Satan quoted scripture to Jesus. He knows the word. Is it what God wants you to do? Now, you have to weigh this. Take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. You take it to the Father. Well, not this psychology, not today's social psychology. No, infants, see, have a richer sexual life than adults. And then Norman O'Brien says, children have not acquired that sense of shame. Now listen to this. These are the guys out there that our government is built on. The liberals out there and so-called conservatives out there are built on this today, this paradigm, this way of thinking. And you think it's academic. You think agricultural department. You think child protectives or human resources are all out there on academic. No, they're built on this paradigm. Right here, I'm going to give you the quote that every social psychologist, everybody trained in psychology, everybody who's trained in anthropology, this is their foundation right here. No other foundation. And Norman O'Brien clearly defines it. Children have not acquired that sense of shame which, according to the biblical story, expel mankind from paradise, and which presumably would be discarded if paradise were regained. Did you hear that? All of psychology is built on the getting back to the garden, regaining paradise without God's patriarchal paradigm. That's public health. That's all of our government's health program, is how to create a healthy earth. Do you know, in the French Revolution, it was all about creating a healthy society? And the only way you can create a healthy society is to remove unhealthy elements. If you want a clean room, say you want to grow something, you don't want weeds and stuff in there. You don't want contamination. And so what you do is you pull the weeds out. You clean the room up, you dust it up, and you know, and dust it out, and you vacuum it up, and you remove the contaminants. In the French Revolution, everybody who went to the guillotines was to create a healthy environment for the next generation. That was the health program. That was government-funded health program. Everybody who was shot in the Soviet Russia, that was a health program set up by the government. We now have that same program, folks. And it all goes back to the garden. For a healthy garden, you got to get rid of God. You got to get rid of the patriarchal paradigm. You got to get rid of the one who comes in and says, no, you can't do that. Which in your flesh and your reasoning and your feelings, there's nothing wrong with it. Paulo Freire, a name you better pay attention to, even though he's dead, his writings are now foundational to our educational system. That public school down there, that Christian school which is accredited, is being moved into Paulo Freire's paradigm. And he says, natural inquiry, in other words, your child's natural inquiry, Eve's natural inquiry into environment, anybody who prevents that person must be treated as though they did a violent crime. Do you understand? If you oppose homosexuality today, men and women doing their inquiry into environment without restraint, they're lawless. If you prevent that, you will be treated as though you did a violent crime. And most of America, stupid Christians, quote unquote, from church growth are going to support public health program, which is a guarantee of persecution of the true believers. Because it'll be nothing but a heresiarchal paradigm, and its only purpose for a heresiarchal paradigm, the only purpose for Satan in the garden was to attack a patriarchal paradigm. It's all about paradigms. And so when Norman Brown says children have not acquired that sense of shame, these people should be ashamed, but they're not ashamed. You Jeremiah 6, he says, you're not even ashamed of your abominations. And the church today is not ashamed of abomination. It's dialogue. If you're dialoguing how you feel and what you think in an abominational environment, I'll give you an example. The verse, as above, so below, is a Satanist Bible. It's a Satanist verse from the Satanist Bible. And if you've been in church growth and you've read Purpose Driven Life and you've been in a Bible study and you heard that, that's an abomination statement. That is a verse from Satan. And it should be exposed to such, but no. Now, it's wonderful. We find what's in common. We look at the tree of knowledge of good and evil and all the other trees, and they're all in common. So let's focus on human relationship. Let's make lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life our foundation. But we just remove the lust part because we remove the law of God. The law of God exposes us as lust, but we don't love the law of God anymore. We love God's mercy and grace. I keep repeating this over and over, but it's a false gospel. And therefore, he says, man expelled from paradise, and which presumably would be discarded if paradise were gained. In other words, we can get rid of the conscience if we create the good life, and that's what the health program is all about today. Create the good life, and we get rid of the conscience. We get rid of God, Satan's anti-patriarchal, heresiarchal paradigm. We'll continue after these messages.